Good morning, and it is time for today's edition of Morgan Matters in Studio B. I'm Alec Creighton, and joining us this morning is Brent Nation, the Fort Morgan City Manager. We appreciate your coming in this morning.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
And we've got summer going and all the things that go along with that. It's been a great summer around Fort Morgan.
It really has. And it's amazing how quickly it's going. I keep getting reminded how quickly school is getting ready to start.
School is starting soon. We've still got, I think, 3 Thursday Night Lives yet to go.
Yep.
There was quite a few people in downtown Fort Morgan a week ago.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And I mean, for the most part, the weather has cooperated. It hasn't been like a couple of years ago where it seemed like it rained every Thursday night.
Right.
And so we've had some really good weather for our events. And so, yeah, it's always good to see those things.
Friday of Bob Stock was an exception, but Saturday was perfect.
Yeah, Saturday was perfect for them. And I think even though they had to cancel some of the performances, there was still a lot of activity that went on Friday night during the rain. Yeah. You know, the food trucks were all busy and the beer gardens were all full.
I heard the numbers from the beer garden and, some of the businesses downtown. So people were
even,
here.
Yeah, even with the rain, there were still a lot of people here and a lot of money spent. So those are good things. So.
Right. And so... A lot of summers, we've got street projects going on all over town. This year, it's concentrated on Barlow Road.
Barlow Road. That's been
closed for a few weeks, and we've got, a few more to go?
Oh, yeah, very much so. They're going to start paving the first section that they've been working on, which is basically from the railroad tracks towards the traffic light at Platt Avenue or Highway 34. And so they'll actually start putting down concrete. The schedule that I saw was they're hoping by the end of this week they'll start putting concrete down there.
So that what they've been doing so far is the foundation?
Yes, the prep work. That road really had bad foundation work underneath it to begin with, and so there was a lot of effort that had to go into making sure that that was stabilized correctly.
Because it's been at least a couple decades since that's been done, right?
Unfortunately, I was on the staking crew that did the surveying on that job, so I remember back in the 90s when it was actually put in, so... But,
So does that explain the little bends in the road?
No, that doesn't explain the bends in the road, but yes. So.
There are none, by the way.
There is one if you know where to look.
Oh, okay.
See, you bring that up, and I know where it's at.
Here it comes.
But that's 30 years ago. We won't talk about that.
Right.
So
that's a pretty solid amount of concrete that they put in on that road,
that's
right?
A 12-inch section out there and everything, and we put the fly ash stabilization underneath it and everything to get it nice and solid and everything. So that first stretch that we're hoping to get open, right now the Cold Connect project is looking like they're going to be ready to start putting inventory in their facility in the middle of August. And so that's the goal was to have that all done in time for them to be able to take their trucks down the new road.
Okay.
And so right now...
The middle of August isn't far away.
No, it's not. And so we need... That's why if we start paving the end of this week, we need, 3 good weeks for the concrete to set up and everything. And then if the test results yield that it's good enough, we'll put trucks on it. So,
okay.
And then we'll start working on the railroad crossings and then the stuff on the south side of the tracks that need to be fixed too, and they're doing some of that prep work as we speak.
So that's all part of the greater project.
Yes, it's a bigger project that'll take place well into August. So,
and then what is the expected lifespan of a road like that once it's engineered to these standards?
It's one of those things that if you get good base material underneath it, stabilize it well, and you put a thick section in like that, you would hope that it would last for 40 or 50 years. I mean, that would be your long-term goal. Sometimes, like the road that was out there, it wasn't stabilized real well underneath and it started to fail, 25 to 30 years.
Right.
And so, but that's typical lifespan is if you can get, especially out of asphalt roads, if you can get 25 or 30 years out of an asphalt road, you're doing really good. So,
okay. So it should be a little while before we have another major closure of Barlow.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So
we may not be, somebody else may be talking
about that.
Yeah, I'm
hoping I'm not city manager when we're replacing Barlow Road.
Exactly. We're visiting with Brent Nation, the Fort Morgan city manager. Well, with fall on the way, we've got the regular city council and mayor elections coming up. They're not till November, but the candidates need to get their paperwork in now.
Yeah, absolutely. If they're interested in running for, we'll have 3 council seats open and the mayor's position will be open. And so if there are people that are interested in running, they can pick up their – I think they can pick up their packets starting on August 5th, if I remember right, so in a couple of weeks. And so then they have several weeks to get the required signatures in and get them back to the clerk's office and then get them certified to be put on the ballot. So,
what are the qualifications to be a candidate, and who should consider being on the council?
Oh, so candidates, you have to live within the city of Fort Morgan, and you have to have lived at your current address, I think, for a minimum of – it's like 30 or 60 days. It's not
terrible. And you have to live in the ward that you're running.
Yeah, and then you have to – so if you're a council spot, we have three wards in the city of Fort Morgan. So you have to run for the ward that you live in. The mayor is an at-large. You can live anywhere in the city and run for mayor. The council positions are a four-year term. You can actually serve two consecutive terms as a council person, so up to 8 years total. The mayor is a little different. It's a two-year term, but the mayor can run for three terms, so you could – potentially be mayor for 6 years if you wanted to. And so I think we only have one position that the council member is term limited, so we'll definitely end up with a new council person in one of our wards. But at this point, it's up in the air who's even running. So I would assume that some
there
of
haven't
our
been any official campaign nobody, announcements
nobody
yet.
Has come out and made anything official. Yeah, right. So we'll see. But I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably be hearing more about that.
Okay, so I guess maybe it's up to us on the media to put them on the spot.
There you go. I'll let you do that.
Declare that. So, but in all seriousness, if a person is interested in that, they start by going to the city clerk's
office. Yeah, go to the city clerk's office if you just want to come on in. We're at 110 Main Street in Historic City Hall, and the clerk's office is the first office you'll see. And they'll make sure you get your paperwork here in a couple of weeks. So
okay, and it's there is somewhat of a time commitment, but it's a good way to serve the community.
Oh no, absolutely. That's actually something that I did early on in my career. I served as a council member years ago now, and so it's one of those. It's an interesting. You definitely see the city up close. You get to know a lot more about what is going on and a lot more of the details. But it's very fulfilling. It's one of those things, if you've ever had a desire to serve the public and everything, we're always looking for people that are willing to, you know, step in there and want to learn more and help the city grow.
Okay. Encourage people to look into that. And again, early August is when that process starts. And speaking of the November election, the city council, I know the city staff has been working on this a long time, and the city council has been looking at putting a ballot question on the November ballot for an aquatic center that would be built next to the field house.
Correct. Yeah, at the council meeting last Tuesday, we had a furthering discussion on that, and council gave staff directive to go ahead and move forward with the required ballot language that would be necessary for first, you know, are we going to build this thing, and then can we raise sales tax? This is always the one that, you know, it's toughest to talk about, but in order to pay for a facility of this size, we would need a 1% sales tax increase, and so we're working on that ballot language so we can bring it back to council and get it ratified and then put on the November ballot. So people should expect to see that ballot question coming. We're working with our ad hoc committee is going to kind of take over and be the group that kind of spearheads the, you know, those in favor of wanting to see this happen. Once the city takes the official stance of putting this on the ballot, we can't expend any money.
Then
or
you can't
anything.
Be an advocate anymore.
Yeah, we just step out of it and just let this. But this group has already stepped forward with and said that they're more than willing to help, you know, run a campaign to promote this and move it forward. So there will be a group out there that'll be promoting this once we get the language put together and know, you know, what the ballot. Everybody wants to know, is it ballot 2F or, you know, 36?
So will it all be one question? Because every once in a while, some of these have to be broken into
two. Yeah, they've
got
to be broken into two because you have to.
This will be two.
I think this will be two because I think we have to, we'll have to request the ability to bond, and then we'll have to actually request the ability to raise the sales
the
tax.
The tax, okay. So they both need to pass.
So they will both need to pass.
Yeah.
And so, but that's what we're working through. We're just getting bond council lined up and we're getting a bonding agency. And so we're trying to get all those exact questions answered as we speak. So,
okay. So just to summarize, I mean, what are we looking at if we say yes to that question?
So the proposed facility that we've come up with is the capital cost of it, everything, including design, utility connections, and all that stuff, is approximately $30 million. Like you indicated, this would be a facility connected to the field house. It would have competitive lap lanes inside with it. It would also have what we call the fun pool and everything that has zero entry for little kids, place splash features. It would have a lazy river. It also have a deeper pool for diving into, a rock climbing wall, so you can climb, and if you fall off, you fall into the water. Okay. Then some slides, one of those slides that you see that curl outside the building and then bring you back into the building. Therapy pool, you know, hot tub type area and all that stuff. Then obviously the locker rooms and offices, and then some meeting space to go in with it. And so very comprehensive pool for what we looked at were the desires of the community. And so we think it fully encompasses everything that we need. And so for $30 million, let's hope it does.
Right, right. Well, that's a big number, but that's mm-hmm. what things cost these
yeah,
days.
No.
And the 1% sales tax would fund, retire the bonds and pay some of the operating.
Pay the O&M. Yeah, so right now just the
O&M, which is operating and maintenance.
Operating and maintenance. Okay. So looking at that, the preliminary numbers show that we need about $2 million for the capital bond costs, and then we need about $1.3 million to handle the ongoing operation and maintenance of the facility. And a 1% sales tax in the city of Fort Morgan right now raises right around $3.3 to $3.4 million.
So, okay, so the debt service would be about $2 million,
yep.
and operating each year would be about $100,000 a month.
So, yep.
if I'm doing the math.
Yes.
There. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, and there would still be some user fees and that sort of thing, but would that cover? I mean, would the city budget have to add more to that at all?
Or? So no, that is all in on the 1.3 on the O&M, and so yeah, there would be fees that are recovered, but typically in our rec programs, you know, fees do not recover 100%. It's actually a small fraction of what we need,
right.
and so right now we're just trying to make sure that we're in a position that we can handle that with very minimal fees and keep it affordable for the citizens to use too. So,
right.
Yep.
So how many people would staff this facility?
Oh,
have you thought through that?
The consultants have. There is a chart that shows all of the FTEs, full-time employees, that are required on it, and I don't remember what the number is right now.
Well, I'm just thinking it creates a couple of jobs.
Oh, it creates,
you know, two or three or four, I don't know.
It creates several jobs. It takes a lot of lifeguards to keep a facility open 365 days a year. So, I mean, we hire 30-plus lifeguards a year just to run the Riverside pool, and it's only open for 71 days.
Right.
So it would be interesting. Yeah. I'll have to look back through that before I come in next time to see what the FTE requirement is for the facility, but yeah.
Okay. So maybe wait till the ballot issue passes, but somebody might want to take their life-saving course
to
be a lifeguard.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to the particulars and the details on that. Good update this morning. Thanks very much for your time. And back to school is just around the corner.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yep.
All right. Appreciate the update this morning. Brent Nation is the city manager of the city of Fort Morgan, our guest on Morgan Matters, which is presented by FMS Bank.